Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Again, part four in an ongoing series loosely titled The Murderous Proxy, U.S. Power Elite, NME, MIC, IIC, MSS, Death Cult, a.k.a. Masonic Brotherhood of Death. And so we're into some evidence, but before we dive back into that, again from Bertrand Russell's Impact of Science on Society, just following, immediately following the excerpt that I mentioned, beginning after, by the practice of cruelty, men would become hardened so that worse and worse tortures would be required to give the spectators a thrill. Really, that reminds me of folks like Hillary Clinton. What difference at this point does it make, you know? That kind of thing. The sort of, not just calloused heart, but really heartless, really. Sort of remarks of folks like that. And then every once in a while, they say things like that, and the public is, most of the public, with any sort of moral compass, compassion, empathy left, that has not been entirely dehumanized, is repelled, recoils in horror. And they go, oh, well, you know. Well, what I meant was, so immediately following that excerpt from Bertrand Russell's Impact of Science on Society, these words and a clue, which is interesting. Such possibilities on any large scale may seem a fantastic nightmare, which is a very bizarre turn of phrase. But I think we know why. But I firmly believe that if the Nazis had won the last war, and this was published in 1952, so he knew better. I firmly believe that if the Nazis had won the last war, and if in the end they had acquired world supremacy, they would, before long, have established just such a system as I have been suggesting. They would have used Russians and Poles as robots, and when their empire was secure, they would have used also Negroes and Chinese. Western nations would be converted into becoming collaborationists by the methods practiced in France from 1940 to 44. 30 years of these methods would have left the West with little inclination to rebel. So it's a provocative, perhaps, footnote here to recall that, again, as Edwin Black has written and others, the best, most virulent strains of Nazi science and eugenics were cultivated here first, shipped over there, and then re-imported, for example, under the CIA's program Operation Paperclip. Soviets wanted to prosecute the Nazi scientists. America was like, you know what, we'll give you guys diplomatic immunity. In fact, we'll put you on the Disney Channel. Wernher von Braun, you're a hero. We love you. Unbelievable. So it's worse if the Nazis, you know, if the world would have said, hey, the Nazis won, that would be one thing. We could at least acknowledge it. Again, like the issue of representation I mentioned in the first hour, we're gaslighted. We pretend that, you know, the good guys won World War II. In reality, World War II was entirely pre-planned, fomented, and the worst elements of evil were assimilated by the so-called bad guy or good guys, excuse me, Freudian slip perhaps. So continuing from the excerpt, 30 years of these methods would have left the West with little inclination to rebel. Does all of this kind of sound like what has happened? To prevent these scientific horrors, democracy is necessary but not sufficient. There must be also that kind of respect for the individual that inspired the doctrine of the rights of man. Interesting. As an absolute theory, the doctrine cannot be accepted. As Bentham said, rights of man, nonsense. Imprescriptible. Imprescriptible rights of man, nonsense on stilts. We must admit that there are gains to the community so great that for their sake, it becomes right to inflict an injustice on the individual. And that's the sophistry at work there. But at least Bertrand Russell is sort of honest about this communitarian hinting here that there are gains to the community so great that for their sake it becomes right to inflict an injustice on an individual. But when it comes down to it, let's be honest, gains for the community based on what? Who decides? That's always the question. Who decides? Because when we start talking communal anything, who decides? Acts chapter 2, some point to as an example of communism. And that is patently false. The difference is that the Holy Spirit is impressing on the hearts of the people certain things. And so they feel led, urged by the power of the Spirit to do what they do. And then there are others who, you know, are slightly disingenuous, and those stories are in Acts as well. But it's always the question, who decides? There are gains to the community. There are gains to the state, you could say. So great that for their sake, it becomes right to inflict an injustice on the individual. Really? Of course you use Jeremy Bentham. It's the Benthams, the Hamiltons, the Paines that always get mentioned in this side of the discussion. But continuing, back to the evidence. And again, you know, really in the analogy, the Canadian Wolves, an archetypal weapon against America from the end of the second or the end of the first hour. And it really is. That is the example, that gruesome picture of the collapsed cow, collapsed adult cow, run to death by wolves with no signs of a struggle. And as the caption reads, notice the missing tail and hock damage, which occurred during the chase. And I said that reminds me of the Chase Bank for sure. This is how people feel, you know, and you don't learn about this stuff. You know, these the devil Bill Avery, Rockefellers, that's what they... That's how they think it's a big game. Oh, well, I'm sorry that you didn't learn information that's been occluded from you all your life that we weaponize and prey upon you with. Oops. Leaves you helpless, defenseless to even see the winner-take-all, kill-or-be-killed game that's afoot. Oh, well. It's not my fault you're too stupid to know better, they say, as they've stolen your ability to know better. It's really, really sick and diabolical. It really is. You know, like I said yesterday, anybody that would weaponize things like Christmas is a disgusting human being. Not man or woman. Anyway, I don't want to get carried away, but you get a picture of it, and it's disgusting. Reprehensible doesn't even scratch the surface. So spirit cooking, the example, I don't want to go too far into this. You've probably done the research. People have done the research. I read the Podesta email, the Marina Abramovic email. We played the clip, John Podesta involved in satanic rituals, spirit cooking. You know, maybe we'll play a little excerpt of, I don't know, there's no time. It's, you know, probably worth playing though. Richie from Boston's video. Folks should watch all of it. I'll probably just mention some of these, but, how about we play a few minutes of this one? This one is titled, this excerpt. It's about a 10-minute video. We're going to play about half of it. And it's Richie from Boston's video titled Spirit Cooking, What It Really Is, Disturbing Images. And if you haven't seen the images, you probably shouldn't. But they, you know, in this case, a picture really is worth 1,000 words. Go ahead, please.
Cooking has been brought to the forefront all of a sudden. It's come out of the dark into the light. It's been around forever. and the people that are in power in our government and around the world, as well as celebrities and all other people of means, have followed this for the longest time. This is nothing new. There is nothing new under the sun. In the end, all things will become known. And that's exactly what we're seeing happening right now. This woman, Marina Abramović, is doing a ritual called spirit cooking. And if you look at the news, you look around, this is all over the place now. The alleged that the candidate running for president right now, the presidential selection for 2016, is involved with this, as well as Podesta and all other people. This has been around for a long time. This is nothing new at all. The one thing I want to point out in this video right here is the fact that she has what's known as a golem in the corner in the ritual that she does with the said golem, as well as the fact that she's painting with breast milk, menstrual blood, sperm, feces, and urine. And she's also giving a detailed description of what to do to actually carry out this particular ritual, which is very extensive. They zoom in on it to give it the theatrical air of mystery, so to speak. But notice in the corner what appears to be a golem or a homunculus. What is that, you ask? I'll show you. Watch this. This video, Age of Deceit 2, made by Gon Shimura from Face Like the Sun, can explain it better than I, but this is nothing new. This all goes back to the works by Aleister Crowley, and again, all the rich and wealthy people that have followed his work over the years.
It should be clear by now that the modern technological and scientific agenda is built upon the same spiritual philosophies as ancient alchemy. The desire for man to create artificial life and as a result, play God, is nothing new. One of the goals for the alchemists was to create what is known as the golem, an animated anthropomorphic being created purely out of inanimate matter through magical workings. Hebrew word golem is used once in the Bible and is found in Psalms 139:16, translated as unformed substance. Quote, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. According to Talmudic legends, Adam was initially created by God as a golem, or as a body without a soul, for the first 12 hours of his existence. The substance that gave his mindless body a soul was the breath of God. It was at this point that man became the image bearers of God. Quote, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. While it is appropriate for God himself to create life out of non-life, it is easy to see that man attempting to do the same is in essence playing out the lie that was promised to us before the fall of mankind. The methods to form a golem were vast and complex, involving everything from meditative techniques, numerological markings, and ritual chanting. There are many Jewish traditions of holy rabbis and sages creating a golem. For example, when Eliezer of Worms, a 12th century Talmudist and mystic, commented on the Sefer Yetzirah, or what is known as the Book of Formation, one of the earliest Kabbalistic writings, he gave a detailed and complex report of how to form a golem through advanced spiritual meditative techniques called the 221 Gates. But perhaps the most famous golem is the one allegedly created by Rabbi Yehuda Levi ben Bezalel of Prague, known as the Maharal, in the 16th century. The legend goes that the Maharal created a golem named Yosel to help save the Jews of Prague from the blood libel, an early form of anti-Semitism where cults derived from Roman Catholicism falsely accused the Jews for kidnapping and murdering children to use their blood in religious rituals. After fulfilling his purpose, the golem Yosel was deanimated by the Maharal. It is widely believed that Yosel's body was stored and still lays in the attic of Prague's Old New Synagogue, a building that was curiously not destroyed by the Nazis in World War II. In fact, it is believed that the Gestapo didn't even enter the attic when they took hold of the synagogue. This is no surprise, since it is well known that Hitler spoke often of the Übermensch to describe the National Socialist agenda of creating a biological superior Aryan race that would rule the earth for 1,000 years. In Alchemy. It was the 16th century alchemist
and occultist named Paracelsus. Audience to watch the rest of that. But to Gonza's point there at the end, remember, to begin this series on Monday, I mentioned the words of Rudolf Hess. National socialism is nothing but applied biology. Remember that? Again, I leave it to you to watch the rest of the video. Spirit cooking, what it really is, disturbing images. That's Richie from Boston's video. And see also Marina Abramovic responded to spirit cooking scandal via Snopes. That's an interesting video from Random Rants of Ryan. And by the way, you know, you hear about the golem homunculus. In her novel Frankenstein or the Modern Prometheus, etymology of Prometheus, interesting, right? Mary Shelley's central character is a golem. And to open the novel, on the title page, she quotes John Milton's Paradise Lost. Did I request thee, maker from my clay, to mold me, man? Did I not solicit thee from darkness to promote me? This should be alarming to anyone reading it, especially Christians. In my view, it's a combination of at least Romans 9:20 and 21, and borders on the foolish arrogance of Psalm 2, and in Romans 9, Paul writes, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does not does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel of for honorable use and another for common use? And so anyway, kind of quoting from the Old Testament there, or not quoting, but there are allusions to the Old Testament. Excuse me. Anyway. Moving on. And then, of course, Psalm 2. You know, John in Tennessee has mentioned Psalm 2 fairly recently. That's self-explanatory. No wonder Mary Shelley's Frankenstein or the Modern Prometheus has survived 200 years. While in less than 100, 1984, Animal Farm, Fahrenheit 451, Brave New World, The Open Conspiracy, Philip Drew Administrator, Catch-22, and many others like these continue to get memory hold, along with the letter that I mentioned, John Adams' letter to Hezekiah Niles, that every American should read. That should be required reading in America. February 13, 1818, John Adams to Hezekiah Niles. Lots of additional information on that still up on YouTube if folks are interested, but I'm moving on from the spirit cooking stuff. Didn't want to cover it in the first place. Haven't up to this point for that very reason. Next up, as evidence to, you know, exactly who and what these people are. If you're not at the table, you're on the menu. This soundbite that I've mentioned in the past, I would never use that turn of phrase. Would you? I wouldn't. I can't imagine using that turn of phrase, but many bureaucrats have, many. And now the unwitting masses are aping it. You know, you have crowds on demand with their idiots at staged events that are using these sound bites that are scripted, obviously. But then the general public starts saying this crap. So we'll pick up there when we come back. Stick around.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party property, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Which brings me to how things get done in Washington these days. And if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. That's what I learned after 18 years in Congress and 20 years as a top lobbyist.
So on the 8th of March, we celebrate International Women's Day. And actually on the same day, we run the First Ladies Half Marathon for Beyond Zero. So the first thing I want to talk about is how we sabotage ourselves in our careers. Because there's never been a better time to be a woman than now. And literally, for me, this message is for young women in their 20s. And that's because everything that was not on the plate before is on the plate for you. I mean, you be a driver even of a matatu is not news. By the way, nobody's going to cover it because that one's been done. Let me tell you what we do wrong. Number one, we don't come to the table. And I say that in every meaning. It's in the office, it's in boardrooms, it's at cabinet level. And we fail to understand that when you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And when the menu, you will be eaten, huh?
Who uses these turns of phrase? Just search the turn of phrase for yourself on YouTube if you haven't, or wherever if you're interested. Richie from Boston's done videos on it and many others. But again, I would never use this turn of phrase, or eating your own dog food, or any other vapid NLP phrasing. Incidentally, a web search of this phrase gave me Katy Perry's Bon Appetit video, which I think is interesting. Probably since from the lyrics, the words "I'm on the menu," which is weird. And if you haven't seen that video, it's disgusting. Words can't describe how disgusting it is. But published May 12, 2017, less than a year ago, and which, by the way, has 457 million views on YouTube at last count. To put that in perspective real quick, Corbett Report YouTube channel joined June 14, 2007, That's more than 10 years ago. 55 million views, plus or minus. RFB1 and RFB2, Richie from Boston, his main channel, and channel 2, you know, Roman numeral 2, joined October 17, 2010 and October 24, 2016, respectively, a combined 51.3 million views or so. Yours truly joined June 4, 2008, 1,995 views. I guess it would help if I made more than one video, especially in, you know, 10 years or so, more than one every decade or so. I need to get to that. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, watch if you're inclined. I can sure, if you can endure the horror. And Roald Dahl's, Pig, it's Rule, I call him Roald because, you know, more of a phonetic pronunciation. The British spy who helped form the CIA and wrote children's books. From his 1960 collection, Kiss Kiss, the scenario in Pig is eerily similar to Katy Perry's Bon Appetit, with a twist at the end. You know, Katy Perry's video has a twist to the storyline. But it to me, it reminds me of Pig. It's grotesque. Don't let your kids read it, by the way, or anything of his for that matter, I would say. We should know better. We've played the video from Grace over at Really Graceful, her YouTube channel. Madeline McCann and George Soros, look at their eyes. There's that entry. And here's the late entry I spoke of earlier. Dawkins pushing cannibalism. We should probably, I don't know, maybe we'll spare the excerpt. Maybe we'll play it. Richie from Boston's video yesterday, Dawkins pushing cannibalism. And as I mentioned earlier, this one's especially crazy for two reasons. One, I didn't see it until I was almost entirely finished with this segment, along with his video, Stephen Hawking's Died, where he mentioned that it's really starting to freak me out that every time you talk about something, it occurs. And that I've been noticing that, too. It's a little odd. Richie refers to the Breitbart article. He cites the Breitbart article published a couple of days ago, a few days ago now, I think it was the 13th. Richard Dawkins suggests eating human flesh to overcome cannibalism taboo. By the way, Dawkins is not a professional atheist, as is claimed. That sounds neutral and it's patently false, but leave it to those of their father, the devil, a liar and the father of lies, to tell a lie. It sounds neutral to say that he's a professional atheist. Oh, and he's professional. He's actually an avowed Satanist. So put that together with the cannibalism and then go research how instrumental a role he's played in architecting the interwebs, things like that, modern times, and, you know, let that rattle around a little bit. I think maybe we'll skip the Dawkins pushing cannibalism. I think you get the point. Hopefully folks get the point. You know, I mean, what do people have to do? Do they have to actually be at one of these ritual, ceremonial, druidic, human sacrifice kind of things? You know, I don't want to get into all of that. The point is, these people are ruthless and cruel. Shrewd doesn't even begin to describe it. And these are just a few examples. There's also Burning Man and other festivals and the private restaurants for these purposes in cities like Los Angeles. Anyway, stick around. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, March 16th, 2018. We need to move on. The weekend is coming. We're running out of time. I realize that last little bit is arguably vulgar and shocking to the conscience of anyone who still has one in this society, but I believe it's important to kind of cut right to the heart of the matter, which is perhaps the wrong turn of phrase here, and that's not NLP. It's not intended to be anything like that, just a lack of a better alternative. Anyway, circling back around to the point, the analogy that I used, the point here, I suppose, is not to get hung up or fixated on the morbid, but to shake some from their indolent catatonic state. And if anything beyond that, to amply illustrate the extreme cruelty and callous brutality of people infected by this mind and heart virus, so to speak, in order that we all may be aware and guard ourselves, our hearts and minds against it, and that of our posterity as well. So again, to raise awareness to and punctuate the situation we now face, let me just kind of end this little bit by returning to the analogy that I began with, that I would call Canadian wolves an archetypal weapon against America, which is borrowing from Idaho Representative Judy Boyle's Range Magazine article, Canadian Wolves, a Weapon Against the West. And again, the example, you know, drawing from her article, the words in the past, ranchers believed if they found a chewed up animal or even just some remains, that that indicated a wolf attack. So it's kind of, you know, like in American society, you know, we think something there, it must have been a psychopath, a bad guy, a criminal or whatever. We now know wolves kill both livestock and wildlife for sport or in teaching their pups to hunt. August is when this begins in earnest, especially in high meadows or on private pastures with trees in the backdrop. Wolves will cut out an animal from the herd and literally run it to death, nipping at its hocks, jerking its tail, pulling off an ear to keep it moving. So there are all kinds of other, you know, sub analogies to this. So you have the fact that it's actually worse in America because these wolves that are doing this are wolves. They can't masquerade as sheep. You know, they can't put on an elk costume and run among the elk herd, for example. But that's what's happening in America. And, you know, balkanization is the practice of cutting out a subset of animals or one animal from the herd. And you know, people are being run to death. Look at how industries are being attacked through efforts like technocracy and disruptive innovation, disruptive technology, etc. And again, the caption of the gruesome photo, collapsed adult cow run to death by wolves with no signs of a struggle. And this is happening in America. This kind of image is what I see happening to people every day. Notice the missing tail and hawk damage, which occurred during the chase. Isn't that how many of us feel? You get nipped and run to death along the way. What is the solution? I am ashamed to say, ashamed to admit, moving on from this, hopefully that analogy serves its purpose. I'm ashamed to admit that only 2 days ago I came to the astonishing and provocative realization. I've been thinking for a long time, years, what can we do? What can we do? How can we get information out to people? I started thinking about the founders and how you read about many of these folks were pamphleteers. Pamphleteers. And then you start thinking about it. What were they? I wonder what they were handing out. And, you know, this is what happens when you go through this stuff and you come full circle, maybe, you know, reading stuff for over a decade. Finally, you know, I mean, I'm slow, but I'm not stupid. I hope, anyway. Hopefully not in the context of Bonhoeffer's remarks. Anyway, what can we do? And you think about these pamphleteers, what were they circulating? And I think about the White Rose too, you know, in the times of Nazi Germany. What were they circulating? It was obviously provocative enough to get some folks killed. So then I started thinking 2 days ago, well, what? Maybe we should look at the pamphlets. I mean, if they work, the bad guys hold to the same mindset, the same mantra. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, if it worked, then why not do it again? So it's interesting. You try to find the pamphlets that the founders circulated. It's difficult, if not impossible, and that is a provocative irony. I'll get to why here in a second. So the one thing I will leave you with for the weekend, if you want to examine some things that I think are worth investigating as far as maybe how to pull ourselves out of the mire, so to speak, again, sort of reaching back to the article from yesterday, Ordinary Men, Band of Brothers, Natural Born Killers. You know, to have a firm footing to attempt to climb out of the mire from that to this, then what? Then what do you do? There is a website, AmericaInClass.org, from the National Humanities Center. And, you know, take it for what it is. I'll just say that. But there's a collection. If you go to AmericaInClass, AmericaInClass.org, /sources/making revolution. You'll find the series Making the Revolution, America, 1763 to 1791. This is a very comprehensive collection. There is a primary resources by theme, kind of index or table of contents by section, Crisis 1763 to 1775, Rebellion, these are section 1, Crisis 1763 to 1775, total of 228 pages. These are excerpts from letters and pamphlets and all kinds of things from the period. Section 2, Rebellion 1774 to 76, 114 pages. Section 3, War 1775 to 83, 174 pages. Section 4, Independence 1783 to 91, total of 134 pages. And Constitution 1780 to 91. And don't worry, the articles are in there. That's the first section, subsection of Section 5. It's abandoning the article, so it's at least mentioned. But 104 pages, so a total of 754 pages, which is interesting, and that should be circulated far and wide. But included in that is the letter that I mentioned, and there are some other things that we probably won't have time to get to. But you know, there's one section. The first section titled "Crisis" includes a subsection titled 1765 to 1766 Stamp Act Crisis, and I would direct folks' attention to that and some of the things that were said. It's astonishing if we could get to that today. The things people were saying, that they were writing about the Stamp Act. Maurice Moore, for example. John Dickinson. The critical time is now, when you are reduced to the necessary and forming necessity of forming a resolution upon a point of the most alarming importance that can engage the attention of men. Your conduct at this period must decide the future fortunes of yourselves and of your posterity, must decide whether Pennsylvanians from henceforward shall be free men or slaves. So vast is the consequence, so extensive is the influence of the measure you shall at present pursue. And that kind of language is lost on most Americans today because of the way that Orwellian linguistic minimalism has basically eliminated any descriptive language, if you will, including excesses. Now everything is excessive, you know. I would be more than happy, as one comedian notes. What does that even mean? But these guys were talking about how, you know, destruction lurks within this, you know. John Dickinson writes, to receive these edicts from the mother country is worse than death. It is slavery. Dickinson says slavery is worse than death. What constitutes slavery? We've lost sight of that in America today. Anyway, there's more. We're running out of time, so I leave it to the listener to search that out. But listen to the words of John Adams in reflection of this era, 1763 to 65 in particular, 65 in particular. Adams mentioned that James Otis's defense was something that shaped his life for decades to follow. And this was a very pivotal moment in American history. The Stamp Act was pivotal. Reflecting in his letter to Hezekiah Niles, John Adams wrote, listen to this. Dear Mr. Niles, the American Revolution was not a common event. Its effects and consequences have already been awful over a great part of the globe. And when you, and when and where are they to cease? But what do we mean by the American Revolution? Do we mean the American War? The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments and their duties and obligations, which reminds one, I think, fast forward to, you know, the contemporary period, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, knowing that he was sealing his fate, helping to plot the assassination attempts of Hitler. Yet he has the composure of mind knowing that he's been sentenced to death, to be executed. He, you know, has the composure to write what is now known as his letters and papers from prison. Unbelievable. The resolve. Wow. Sort of harkens back to Paul. Anyway, the revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments of their duties and obligations. While the king and all in authority under him were believed to govern in justice and mercy according to the laws and constitution derived from them, or excuse me, derived to them from the God of nature and transmitted to them by their ancestors, they thought themselves bound to pray for the king and queen and all the royal family. Sounds like Romans 13, right? And all in authority under them as ministers ordained of God for their good. But when they saw those powers renouncing all the principles of authority and bent upon the destruction of all the securities of their lives, liberties, and properties, they thought it their duty to pray for the Continental Congress and all the 13 state congresses, etc. There's a wrinkle in Romans 13 for some folks. There might be, and by the way, the Constitutional Convention, you know, the Convention of Western States, the Redoubt, all of that nonsense is just that. It's nonsense. It's balkanization, etc. I digress. There might be, Adams wrote, and there were others who thought less about religion and conscience, but listen to this, but had certain habitual sentiments of allegiance and loyalty derived from their education, but believing allegiance and protection to be reciprocal when protection was withdrawn, listen, they thought allegiance was dissolved. Makes sense. Another alteration was common to all. The people of America had been educated in an habitual affection for England as their mother country, and while they thought her a kind and tender parent, he adds parenthetically, erroneously enough, however, for she never was such a mother, no affection could be more sincere than that of the American people. But when they found her a cruel bedlam, willing like Lady Macbeth to, quote, dash their brains out, it is no wonder if their filial affections ceased and were changed into indignation and horror. If we still had any gumption in America. This radical change in the principles, opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people was the real American Revolution. By what means this great and important alteration in the religious, moral, political, and social character of the people of the 13 colonies, all distinct, unconnected, and independent of each other, was begun, pursued, and accomplished, it is surely interesting to humanity to investigate and perpetuate to posterity. Now we're getting somewhere. Listen to this. To this end, it is greatly to be desired that young gentlemen of letters in all states, especially in the 13 original states, would undertake the laborious but certainly interesting and amusing task of searching and collecting all the records, pamphlets, newspapers, and even handbills, which in any way contributed to change the temper and views of the people and compose them into an independent nation. Have we done this in America? Again, to this end, find out how this was accomplished. How was this accomplished? By what means this great and important alteration in the religious, moral, political, and social character of the people of the 13 colonies, distinct, unconnected, independent, was begun, pursued, and accomplished. It is surely interesting to humanity to investigate and perpetuate to posterity. Stick around. Final segment coming up right after a short break.
I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake?
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Friday, March 16, 2018, we're talking solutions to head into the weekend. Some food for thought from John Adams' letter to Hezekiah Niles again. By what means this great and important alteration in the religious, moral, political, and social character of the people of the 13 colonies, all distinct, unconnected, and independent of each other, was begun, pursued, and accomplished? It is surely interesting to humanity to investigate and perpetuate to posterity. To this end, Adams wrote, it is greatly to be desired that young gentlemen of letters in all states, especially in the 13 original states, would undertake the laborious but certainly interesting and amusing task of searching and collecting all the records, pamphlets, newspapers, and even handbills, which in any way contributed to the change, to change the temper and views of the people and compose them into an independent nation. This should be essential learning. And John Adams is absolutely right. The colonies had grown up under constitutions of government so different. There was so great a variety of religions. They were composed of so many different nations. Their customs, manners, and habits had so little resemblance, and their intercourse, direct communication, had been so rare that their knowledge of each other so imperfect that to unite them in the same principles, in theory, and the same system of action was certainly a very difficult enterprise. This from the second president, under the Constitution anyway, worthy of note. The complete accomplishment of it in so short a time and by such simple means was perhaps a singular example in the history of mankind. And this is a man who does not use that terminology lightly. This is a man well acquainted and familiar with the breadth of recorded history. 13 clocks were made to strike together a perfection of mechanism which no artist had ever before effected. In this research, the glorioli of individual gentlemen and of separate states is of little consequence. The means and the measures are the proper objects of investigation. The means and measures. These may be of use to posterity, not only in this nation, but in South America and all other countries. But in our focus here, definitely to posterity. They may teach mankind that revolutions are no trifles, that they ought never to be undertaken rashly, nor without deliberate consideration and sober reflection, nor without a solid, immutable, eternal foundation of justice and humanity, nor without a people possessed of intelligence, fortitude, and integrity sufficient to carry them with steadiness, patience, and perseverance through all the vicissitudes of fortune, the fiery trials, and melancholy disasters they may have to encounter. There's more, but I leave it to you, the listener, to read it. Hopefully there's food for thought and reflection for the weekend. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. Have a great weekend. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.